All right. Hey, let's go ahead and pray. God, I'm thankful we can come into this dark room and on a rainy, rainy Sunday that we can spend a little time exploring things, ways that we can be connected to what you're doing in this community. And it doesn't really matter our spiritual orientation, our spiritual background, where we come from. This is a place where we can explore together wherever we are. And God, we're just thankful for that. We're thankful that you were a God who did come to change the world, that that came to be a giving God, a generous God that actually just continues to leak all over this world in ways that impact and take people's lives to new places. And we've been exploring that, and today, God, I'm going to pray that you would just help us to see some of the ways that not only you're doing that around us and that you're doing that in us, but how we can be a part of that and providing that for others. I just pray that you help us to see things, God, that maybe we have never seen today. I pray these things in your name and according to your character. Amen. Well, hey, it's great to have you here this morning. My name's Kurt, and there's not many places to be better than this on a Sunday when it's raining, right? I mean, you know, you get great music, a great humor, by the way. I don't know where Eric went. Great humor, and I get to sit and watch it all, right? I mean, because I might be the misfit the other time. But, listen, we've been in this series called For God So Loved, and, the next phrase in that passage in the Bible that we all probably know very well, regardless of, our spiritual tradition, is For God So Loved that He gave His only, one and only Son. And we've been looking at this trend of giving that God exemplified for us. And it really began thousands and thousands of years ago, even before Jesus. But Jesus was kind of the ultimate culmination of that giving as He gave His Son. And not only did He give His Son, but He sent His Son to the cross to die for us, went into a grave. 3 days later, He rose from the grave and then spent a little more time on earth before He actually went back to return to heaven to be with His Father. And Jesus said something really fascinating at that point. He said, it's actually better that I leave you. To His friends, He's like, it's better that I go away. It's to your benefit that I leave. And they're like, what are you talking about, Jesus? I mean, it's been cool to have you here. You do amazing things when we're with you. How is it going to be better for you to not be around? And he said, well, I'm going to leave this guide, this internal presence, to actually guide you. And the guide's actually going to take you to whole new places. And so over the last few weeks, we've been looking at some of the ways the guide, the Holy Spirit actually internally kind of takes us to new places, takes us out of places of anger and resentment, and helps us to begin to live out of grace, taking us, out of fear and anxiety, and actually replaces that with a peace. And last weekend, we looked at how, the guide actually takes us from these places of pride that creep into relationships and marriages, and how it just kind of begins to deteriorate, and how the guide actually wants to take us from a place of pride into a place of humility and into a place of love. And I don't know about you, but, whenever I walk out of here after a weekend, where we're dealing with, heavy stuff, that stuff just creeps up all over my life. Is your life that way? All of a sudden, you become very aware of some of the things that maybe we've been dealing with. And this past week, kind of a funny story, I was serving to my kids' classroom over across the street at Fall Creek Elementary, and my day off on Fridays, I typically volunteer a couple days a month, and I go in, and I like to work in the classroom with the kids, and I want to be that dad that changes some kid's reading trajectory for the rest of their lives, because I spent an hour with them, I helped them with some project that they were way behind on, and that's typically what I do. And so, not the impact part, just that's the role I play. And so, I was going in this past week, and I get to the door, and the teacher greets me there. She's like, Kurt, I don't have anything for you today in the classroom because we're preparing for ISTEP, and a lot of this stuff is stuff that we're doing as a class. And so, but I can use you. And she hands me this huge stack of paper, and she says, would you mind copying this for me? And I just look at the pen in her hand, and I think, I would rather jab that thing in my eye than copy all of those papers. But of course, I realize my role, this isn't about what Kurt wants. This isn't about, I don't volunteer to fulfill my, inner needs. I do that because I want to be a benefit. I want to, bring some benefit to her life and to the kids. And so I'm like, absolutely, I'll take those. I walk down to the office, a huge stack of papers. And the whole way I'm thinking, this is not what I signed up for. And so, I'm walking down, and I get to the office, and I go up to the copier, and listen, early on at Cross Point, we used to do, it's kind of like all hands on deck. I mean, I used to run some of the printed stuff you get every week. PJ ran a lot of that. I mean, it was common for us to use the copier. I have to admit, I haven't used the copier in a long time. And I walk up to this thing, and it's got like a touch screen on it, right? And I've got to figure out how to get a paper from one-sided to two-sided and run 70 copies of them. And I go to the secretary and ask for help, and this is where pride came in. I'm like, I don't do this anymore. Like, my assistant, Leela, who's a great blessing, by the way, she does all this. I should have brought her with me today because she would have done great. And all of a sudden I'm realizing, like, I think that's a little pride. I'm like feeling like this is a little below me. Not that I haven't done it, and not that it's not important. And I went on, she showed me how to do it, and I copied, you know, and then I got to this book where I had to print like 70 pages out of this book, and this mom comes in as I'm standing there. She's like, "Aren't you a dad?" And I'm like, "I am." She's like, "You're not subbing today, are you?" I'm like, "Oh, no." I'm like, "But I've never run a copier like this. I mean, I should have brought my assistant." I said it again as if I didn't learn the first time. And listen, I'm very appreciative for Leela and all that she provides for our team. And so it's not like that's not a valuable thing, but I just felt like this. I really felt like I don't do this well. And it was interesting because I realized pride just has a way of creeping in. And yet, as I got back to that reality of, hey, what I'm doing is actually, you know, I'm making good things happen for somebody else. That's one of the principles we live by around here, that we live by this. And what I realized is when I actually fulfilled the role that was needed, it was amazing. It was like Grand Central Station in that office. I probably had 5 or 6 people from Cross Point that work across the street come into the office over the hour and a half that I was there, you know, photocopying. And yet I had a lot of conversations. Somebody said, "Hey, I've been meaning to talk to you." We had a conversation for 5 minutes. Parents coming in saying, "Hey, what about those New York City bombings? I mean, is that making you afraid?" And we just talked about fear. We were talking about fear. Probably 10, 11, 12 spiritual, you know, generated conversations. I didn't start. It simply just came because I was willing to be used in a very mean, you know, basic way, and yet God used me in that moment because I was willing. And it just reminded me of this principle that we live by here, that, you know, we have people all around this place that serve, that fulfill roles that, you know, are doctors and accountants and business people and, you know, run startup businesses and work in the medical field. And yet they carry roles around here just because they realize that because of the generous, you know, ness of God and the way God has poured himself into their lives and the generous nature, this trend of giving that God has, you know, think about what's the natural response that we would have to that when somebody's just overly generous with you. You're like, I want to give that back. I want to return that in some way, whether it's to that person or to somebody else. I want someone else to be able to experience all the blessings and benefits that I've experienced myself. You see, for years, God has been pulling together, you know, unique teams of people with very unique focuses. In fact, the nation of Israel was one of those first teams. And God calls them together, and he actually gives them this mission statement. In fact, here's what the mission statement was. He says, "Abraham, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing." And what this says is that when, you know, when we're about doing things in God's name, and we're about Jesus' stuff, then all of a sudden people are crazy, crazy blessed. I mean, people are crazy, crazy impacted. You know, we realize our role is to make good things happen for other people. That's one of the things that God invites us into as a response to the crazy generosity that he brings our way. And, you know, I think a lot of people have forgotten this. I think a lot of churches have forgotten that their main role is to be a crazy blessing to the people that they interact with and that they serve. And, you know, it doesn't take too long to be around this place to realize we're a little different. We're a bunch of creative misfits that kind of beat to a different drum. We actually believe we can change the world. We actually believe that, you know, we can change trajectories of people's lives. And not because of us, but because we believe Jesus still changes things in people today. And as we think about that, you know, that's one of the reasons you experience all the cool, cool things you experience around here every week. Because people have experienced that generosity of a giving God, and they've just said, naturally, I mean, I want to do that for others. I want others to experience what I've experienced. In fact, I crunched the numbers the other day, and I found that 98.1% of what happens here at Cross Point happens from people that don't get a paycheck from here. Amazing. 98.1%. Just to give you an example, just out of curiosity, how many, just raise your hand if you walked in the front door this morning and somebody said good morning to you when you walked in, or, "Hey, good to see you, good to have you here." Yeah, see, look at that. You know, raise your hand if you got a great cup of coffee this morning as you walked in. Somebody showed up at 6:37 to start brewing so you could get a caffeine, you know, jolt this morning and be amped up, ready to go. You know, raise your hand if you checked a child into kids check-in this morning. In some way, one of your children are in one of the kids' environments, and you know, and somebody put a wristband on your hand so your kids could be secure, and they're not sitting next to you going, Mom, when's that guy going to shut up? You know, he should be done. That's what my kids say when they're in here. Dad, when's Dad going to be quiet and sit down? You know, so you actually get to connect and receive and connect with God while your kids are in an environment that really connects at their level. Just to include everybody, how many of you are sitting right now, out of curiosity? Yeah, see, volunteers did all of these roles. And I can guarantee you nobody has a degree in setting up chairs. All right, that's not a degree out there. Maybe someday, but these are people who, you know, have high-level jobs or, you know, very defined skill sets and yet are willing to be used because they understand their role is to make good things happen for others. We had somebody last weekend, Jody, who served in our Wamba Land, our kids' environment, for the very first time. And she sent me an email kind of describing that. Here's what she said. She said, I was super nervous that morning when I showed up, which is probably how all of us feel when we show up for something for the first time. She said, I even had it in my head that I would do this one time and then just say, it's not going to work. Like, we haven't all done that at some point or another, right? Oh, I'm going to do it once to make it look like I really want to do something here. But I was so surprised, it went so well. I was the new kid, but once I got in the environment and was given instructions, I didn't feel left out or lost at all. By the end of the service, I really felt like I'd been volunteering in that environment for a long time, and they asked me ahead of time to do the take-home segment with the kiddos, so I got to kind of recap what we learned. Somebody else told the story of Saul, but I got to hear all the things the kids learned from that. It was a great opportunity, and I'm excited to say that not only did I say I'm one and out, I actually signed up to do it two times a month, and work with these amazing kids in Wambaland. And really what she's doing is she's making good things happen for your children. She's making good things happen so they can actually see Jesus for who he really is. And so I'm really excited about what we're going to be doing today. And let me tell you what we're not going to be doing. We're not going to be guilting anybody into doing anything that you don't want to do today. What we're actually going to be doing is inviting you into this opportunity to be a blessing, to make good things happen for other people, to join this movement at Crosspoint of turning around the generosity, the crazy generosity, the crazy love that you experience when you walk into this place, and to be actually able to help others experience that as well. And so I thought, you know, for the next 25 minutes, I could talk about that, but it'd be much more fun if we show it to you this morning. So what we're going to do in a few moments, we're going to take everybody sitting in this room, every adult and student in this room, on a guided tour of this building so you can see firsthand everything that's happening around here. And so our tour guides are going to kind of jump into place here. And as they do that, these are going to be your guides. They're going to take every person on this tour. And it doesn't mean service is over. What it means is the rest of our time is, you know, churches spend way too much time in an auditorium. You know, we spend 65, 70 minutes in an auditorium, but church is so much more than that. Church isn't something you go to, it's something you do, it's something you engage in. And that's really when we go to new places. And so they're going to take you on a guided tour, and there's four kinds of people in this room right now. First group of people in this room are people who are currently serving. You're plugged in somewhere around here. You're serving in a kids' environment or hospitality or load in, load out. And you're probably sitting there going, why, man, do I need to go on this tour? The answer is yes, we would love for you to go on this tour. And I'm actually excited for you to go because you have a role on this tour. Your role, if you serve around here, is to be an encouragement to those in your group that currently are not serving. You're going to be able to answer questions that they may need answered and just generally be an encouragement. And you're going to get to see all of the things behind the scenes that it takes to pull this place off. Second group of people are people who want to serve but just don't know where. Maybe you said, man, I'd be game for sermon. I just don't know what I could do. Well, listen, I'm excited you're going to go on this tour because you're going to actually see some of the places that you have the opportunity to serve around here. And on the back of your card, if you come to a place, you're going to take this card with you. If you come to a place, you're like, man, I could do that. I didn't know that's what that was. Anybody could do that. I could do that. Just circle that. All right. That's probably a good indicator. That's something you might be able to connect into. All right, and so you're going to have the chance to do that. Third group of people is people who do not want to serve. And there's a variety of reasons. Sometimes we have a lot of reasons. Sometimes they're selfish reasons. Sometimes they're logistical reasons. But I'm excited you're going to go on this tour because you're going to get a chance to see everything that happens around here. And maybe along the tour, nobody's going to guilt you, but maybe you're going to come to a place of being like, man, I receive a lot. Man, the coffee I experience, the music, the great, you know, just the presence in this place. And I, in some way, want to be able to give back and provide that for others. And so maybe you're gonna decide to do that. And maybe you won't. And then the last group of people is people who are here who are still checking us out. I know there are many people here who are, you know, every week that are here for the first time, the second time, the third time, and you're kind of like, man, I don't know. Listen, there's not a better weekend of the year than this one to be here at Crosspoint because you're going to get a behind-the-curtain look at what makes this place go. This is kind of, there's nothing hidden today. You're going to see everything that makes this place go, and you're going to be able to get a very clear picture of what happens and what Crosspoint is all about. And so this is probably includes all of us at some point. And so we're all going to go on this tour. And then a couple details. Here's the five things you need to know for maximum impact before we let you go here. So first of all, you need to grab this card. You need to grab this card and a pen. and you're going to take that with you. The pen's yours, and you're going to need to, when you leave this room, take all of your stuff you brought into the room. Take your cup of Joe, take your handbags, your coats. You're going to take that with you. Secondly, we're going to take you on a guided tour, all right? Guided is the key word there, all right? This is not like a wander at your own pace. This is a tour guide is literally going to kind of walk you around this building for the next 20 minutes. And then third, during your time, then, you know, if you see something, you're like, you know, I'm interested in that. That's something I think I might be able to do. Just circle that area. Doesn't commit you anything. It just reminds you of what this is. And then the fourth thing is when you get to the end of your tour, there's going to be a finish line with a crazy party at the end, because parties are always fun at the end of anything. And so we're going to have a party, and you're going to have the chance to decide if you want to try a first serve someplace. So you're going to kind of do like speed dating. You're going around today, and you're getting checking everything out. You're not committing to anything real big, but just a one-time thing. And when we get to the end, you'll have the chance to say, okay, here's one area I saw. I'm thinking, man, I could do that. And then there's going to be tables with hosts that actually have schedules where you can actually sign up and schedule your first serve to try something out one time, and then we'll check back in with you and see if it's something you're interested in or not. And you're going to drop your card off there. Now, if you serve already around here, the Joy Box is going to be at the finish line, so you can drop your card in there along with your tithes, offerings, crazy, and launch gifts. You can put those in there. And then the last thing is just show up for your first serve. All right, just whatever you schedule. If you schedule one, you're going to get something really fun to take with you. And then just show up, and we'll follow up with you to make sure you're aware of when that is. All right, so this is going to be a lot of fun. You got problems? Yeah, trust me, it's going to be a lot of fun. Now, one thing, if you're a guest today, we don't want anyone to do something they don't want to do. We never want that to happen. So if you just absolutely are like, I just don't want to do this, then you're free to peel out as we stand up in a moment. I'm going to be at the front doors. I'd love to just, you know, have you stop by, introduce yourself to me, and I hope you'll come back and join us again next weekend for Knockoff as we kick off that new series. So everybody stay where they are, but stand to your feet. And I'm going to release the back of the room first. The back two rows are going with Brian and with Shelly. So look to the outside, and you can follow your tour guides there. Next two rows are going with Heather and Carla. So look to your outside rows, and you can follow your tour guide. They're going to be a lot of fun. Next two rows, this is the Julie crew, all right? Julie and Julie. So the next two rows, you can look outside, and you're going to be wandering around with Julie and Julie. And then the front three rows of the auditorium, stay right where you are. Your tour guide is going to be Chris in the middle, and he's going to start you right here in this room. All right, so have a great, great tour, and we'll see you at the finish line.